This morning we're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We've been discussing the comparison of the Eshet Chayil to the Penina, to the pearl, the beautiful, valuable pearl that grows from challenging situations. The Eshet Chayil and every great person develops specifically from the challenges of life. The challenges of life are not deviation from success. They are the way to success. And although we don't necessarily appreciate them, and we certainly don't ask for them, but the Creator knows best and guides us to our very best. And challenges is one of the ways that He brings us to higher levels of accomplishment and more success in our lives. They compare challenges and their results to a farmer who plants a seed in the ground. If we would have ears to hear the seed at the time of its planting, we would probably hear a very frustrated seed wondering why this evil farmer is burying it in the ground. Why is he ending her life and putting her in a very dark situation? That's what it seems like at the moment. But when a person comes back a few months later and the seed realizes how much more it was capable of becoming than one seed, she appreciates what the farmer did, which at the time she thought was the end of her success, when in reality it brought about so much greatness. That's what the pasuk means. Hazora'im bedim'ah. Those who plant with tears. When a person goes through challenges which are not easy, they have tears that come along with them. But when they are tears, it's actually a moment of zeri'ah. It's a moment of planting. The tears are like the water that goes into the ground. The harvesting that comes with happiness and joy starts out with zora'im bedim'a, starts out with planting in a difficult way. This is how it is in the world that we live in. Maybe we would have chosen another way if it was up to us. Maybe we don't fully understand why Hashem needed to make it this way. That could be a different discussion. But at the end of the day, we must surrender our personal thoughts and feelings and lack of wisdom to the Creator's understanding of life and take advantage of Hazora'im Bedim'ah. Of course, nobody is able to bring out the greatness of the person if not for himself. All the challenges of life can do is give the person the push and the highway and the recipe and the opportunity to make changes and to lift himself. I saw once beautifully written, you know, they used to have, today they don't appreciate this. But for the people, you know, 20 and over can appreciate this. they used to have, when they took pictures, they used to have something called film. I don't know if you remember that. So you have a camera, you take 30 pictures, 100 pictures, and you take out the roll of film. The roll of film, if you take it and look at it, there's nothing in it. It's black, it's dark. You see some shades of things going on in there, but really doesn't mean anything. It's not very beautiful. And then you go take it to the store, and you come back in a few days. They take the roll of film, the negatives, and they put some sort of material. What do they put? They put some chemicals, and you come back in a few days and you can't believe your eyes that the roll of film that you gave them, it's got the most beautiful people dressed in the most beautiful way, the most beautiful scenery. Can't believe that that roll of film had in it all of these beautiful pictures. Every person is like a roll of film. If you look at them and if they look at themselves, they see shades of maybe a little better, a little different. Everyone realizes that they're not the best they could be. Everyone knows that they have more in them than what they actually perform in all areas. I think everyone knows that. But they don't have any idea, if processed properly, how much greatness they have inside of them. And this is what the challenges of life are made for. They're made to take the film and make it into real, large size pictures that you can hang up on the walls of your soul that will be eternal. You take a picture and you put it up on the wall. You say, ah, we did this. We went here. We accomplished this. Those pictures, there's eternal pictures of life accomplishments will come through the challenges of life. And life is always changing. Sometimes a person's up and there are challenges there too. And sometimes a person is down. And of course, there are challenges there also. We see this is the way of life. A person should not be thrown off when challenges come in their life. That's one of the worst reactions to this designed highway of the Creator. That when a person gets a challenge in his life, he thinks this is a deviation from life success. That is one of the worst reactions a person can do in life. That when Hashem takes him off the road, he thinks this is the off the road of success, when actually he's turning him onto the road. Again, it's not easy, but you make it a lot worse when you feel like, oh, I was going somewhere. I was getting somewhere. I was actually going to be successful. And this threw me off. If not for this, I could have been in a better place. If not for this, I would have been able to do more in my life. This is a tragic mistake. Again, it's not easy to go through a challenge, but it becomes a disaster when the mindset is, I've been taken off the road of success. Imagine the difference where the person has the difficulty but appreciates that this must be the road. How much difference of an attitude it is from the before the person. You know, they say a story about an old man. He's an 80-year-old man. And every day, his job is, he goes, takes pails, and fills up water, carries it back and sells the water to the people in his town. So a person sees him one day, And he says to him, tell me, old man, how are you? How's life? He says, you believe? At the age of 80, I'm still doing this. At the age of 80, I'm still carrying water with my pails and selling it. Okay. Very disappointing answer. Sees another person, same age, carrying the pails also. And he asks him, says, old man, how are you? He told him, you believe? I'm already 80 years old. And look, I still can carry pails. I'm still able to take the water and deliver it to the people. I'm still able to do what I was able to do 25 years ago. What's the difference between the two people, the same age, doing the same thing? Attitude makes all the difference. It's not everything, but it makes a very big difference. A person, the first thing when challenges are coming into his life, whatever they may be, a person needs to know, this must be the road. And thank God I have the ability to go through this challenge. Thank God Hashem believes in me, that He feels I can actually succeed in this difficult moment of my life. You believe? Hashem believes so much in me that He thinks I can do this and succeed. Hashem wouldn't give it to me if I can't do it. So He sees something great in me. Maybe I don't see, I see the negatives. But Hashem sees the pictures already fully blown. This is the way a person has to start. Beginning of success is to see life taking him and realizing that this is the road. It says by Moshe Rabbeinu, listen to this pasuk. Very simple words, but just opens up a good mindset in life. The famous words of Vayishma Yitro Hoten Kohen Midian Hoten Moshe. The Torah describes Yitro as the father-in-law of Moshe. Who is Yitro? Vayishma Yitro. Who is he? Oh, he's Hoten Moshe. He's the father-in-law of Moshe. By the way, we knew that already. We knew about Yitro when Moshe Rabbeinu ended up in Midian. And we know he married his daughter. But here the Torah comes to identify him. Who is Yitro? Hoten Moshe. He's the father-in-law of Moshe. So it's bothersome. Why did Torah have to tell us information about Yitro that we already know? Comes Rashi, Alav HaShalom. Beautiful Rashi, very simple. Says Rashi, Kan, over here, Haya Yitro mitkaved be-Moshe. Here, in this moment of Yitro's life, he took honor. He was mitkaved through his son-in-law Moshe. Meaning, when he walked around, they said, who are you? You don't know you. Who are you? Kohen Midian, the guy was the top of the top, the leader of Midian. He came to Am Yisrael. They said, what's your name? Yitro. What does that mean, Yitro? Who are you? Oh, I'm the follower of Moshe. Oh, welcome, Fanda. Hashub, very nice. You're the father-in-law of Moshe? Gorgeous. Says Rashi, Ani Hoten HaMelech. What are you? I'm the father-in-law of your leader, of your king. Says Rashi, Ul She'avar. But if you look in the past, Tole Moshe, Haya Moshe, Tole HaGedula BeHamiv. When Moshe Rabbeinu was in Midian, they said, who are you? He said, my name is Moshe. Who is Moshe? What does that mean? Moshe, oh, you know, my father-in-law. My father-in-law is Yitro. Oh, your father-in-law is Yitro. Shh. Very Hashub. He's the leader of Midian. Like it says, Vayelech Moshe, says Moshe went, Vayashov el Yeter Hoteno. He went to Yitro, his father-in-law. Very interesting, Rashi, when you read it. But what is he saying? So, okay, now Yitro spoke about his son-in-law. He was proud, mitkabed. He got honor because of his son-in-law. And before, his son-in-law got honor because of him. Steinemann, Alav HaShalom, says beautifully that what the Torah is coming to teach you is that life turns and a person can find himself to be in unknown and need somebody to be connected to be even noticed. And sometimes it goes fully around that he becomes the person who makes the other guy noticed. How two people can have a relationship that's so opposite from the way it used to be. What the Torah is trying to tell you is that life is going to bring you moments where you feel like a nobody and moments where you feel like you're everything. And you should relax in both and realize that each one of those is a challenge that you need to become somebody. Don't get too high on yourself when you're the man, because one day you are Yitro, one day things will turn. You won't be as hashuv as you thought. Relax. Take it easy. Don't let it get to your head that you think you're invincible. One of the biggest problems that people put themselves in the gutter is when they think they're invincible. When you think you're invincible, you just think you could say whatever you want, do whatever you want. What's the problem? I got a lot of money. It's my family. It's my business. It's my shul. It's my school. It's my charity. When you feel invincible, when you feel you're the top, you can make a lot of mistakes. It's one of the big challenges of life, actually. It's a very big challenge that you don't even think is a challenge. Relax. One day, it'll turn and you will go to a different place. And that will be good for you too. This is how life is. In some situations, you're up, you're the highest, and you could be the lowest. And you got to figure out how to be great in both. Don't get stuck on who you are as if this is going to be you forever. Nothing is you forever. Life is going to give you a lot of different situations. Be ready to be the great you in every one of them. You need to be the greatest son-in-law and you need to be the greatest father-in-law. And it depends how, who's more important. You got to figure it out how to be great in both. That's the words of Chokhmah of the Torah. A person, by the way, it's good on both sides. I gave you one side. Don't feel so hashuv that you lose your mind because you feel invincible. And at the same time, if you're going through a hard time, it's going to change. Just ride the waves. You'll be fine. One of the hardest things is when a person thinks they're stuck forever. They're stuck right now. I'm having such a hard day, such a hard week. I can't imagine it could become anything different. Take it easy. Just ride the waves. Ride the waves. Do what you have to do. And the world has a way of turning. Hashem created an earth that turns. One of the reasons it turns is to remind you that things don't stay the same. Just gotta ride it, take advantage, and you'll find yourself soon enough in a different place. Obviously, it's very difficult for a person to accept, but you should know that even though we're talking about it as a small part, to accept where you are and then deal with it. But you should know that accepting the challenge as a challenge is one of the greatest accomplishments you could do in life. Let me repeat that. Going through a challenge, finding the strength, dealing with it, becoming victorious over your challenges, seemingly, is the greatest accomplishment of life. Anybody in life, if they're interviewed at the age of 100 and they were to recall their successes, they probably, almost guaranteed, will tell you about something that they were able to accomplish despite the adversity. It's not a question. You could ask, interview anybody, tell me what are the greatest moments of your life, and they will tell you about the difficult moments that brought about great success. That's a fact. You could try it with any person. You'll see that's what sticks out in their mind. So seemingly, the greatest success of challenges is to rise from them. But I just told you a hidush, that one of the greatest things, maybe the greatest thing of a challenge, is actually just to accept it as a challenge. That in itself is the biggest accomplishment. That means you didn't do anything yet. You didn't go through it. You didn't battle it. You didn't win. The fact that you accepted the challenge, meaning when you get a delivery to your house, they come to the door, they leave a sticker, we need a signature. Okay, they take it back. They bring it back. We need a signature. You're not home. When you sign on the package, now it's yours. A person who accepts the challenge is signing on the package. I got it. I got the assignment. That signature that you got the assignment could be the greatest accomplishment on this planet. It's a very big hidush, I'm telling you. I didn't yet fight. I didn't yet win. The fact that I said, you know what? I accept this mission. I understand what you want from me. I got to deal with this now. Greatest accomplishment. How do I know that? How do I know that that is the greatest accomplishment on planet Earth? That to make statements like that, only the Creator could help give you such words you never could imagine such a thing. But Baruch Hashem, we have a Torah, and we're able to understand things on a deeper level that people can never dream to know. Listen to this Gemara. It's a very, very powerful Gemara. In Masechet Baba Batra, Dav Tetzvav. The Gemara brings over there Pesukim from Iyob. Pasuk says, Vayhi Hayom. And it was the day. What day? Says the Gemara, Ze Haya Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, that day, that awesome day, Vayavo'u b'nei ha'elohim lehityatzev al Hashem. The angels came to stand by Hashem, whatever that means. Vayavo gam ha-satan v'tocham. Satan came also as one of the angels. He's also an angel. On Rosh Hashanah, he came in front of Hashem. That's what the Pasuk in Iyov reports. Bayomer Hashem el Satan. Hashem tells the Satan, Me'ayin tavo. Tells him, where are you coming from? Seems like a conversation that people would have with each other. Where were you? But of course, in God's world, He doesn't make conversation with people for no reason. And He certainly doesn't need to ask a person where he was. But He asked him, Me'ayin tavo? Vaya'an ha-satan et Hashem. Listen to this answer. He told him, you know where I went?
Mishot ba'ares umitalech ba. He says, I went and traveled throughout the entire planet Earth. I'm all over. Every place that you call planet Earth, I was there.
Gemara explains, what did he see in planet Earth? Gemara says, Satan tells Hashem, Shati b'chol ha'olam.
I went and I traveled the entire world. Ve'lo matzati ne'eman ke'avdecha Avraham. I went everywhere. I saw everything. I guess he also means times before. He saw it all. I didn't find a servant like Avraham Avinu.
What did he find?
He told him, you promised him,
Lech Lecha.
Hashem told him, listen, go. Leave your country. Leave your business. Leave your empire. And go to the land. And I'm going to give you the land. It's going to be yours. Hashem promised him Eretz Yisrael. He told him, Kum mitalech ba'aretz, go. Travel the land, walk the land. Le'orkah ul'rohma. Go high, go wide. Ki lecha etenena. I'm giving you the land of Israel. It's yours. But kesheba likvor et Sarah,
when he came to bury Sarah imenu, this is years later, he came to bury Sarah imenu, 127 years old.
Ve'lo matza makom. He couldn't find a burial spot.
You know how big you need for a burial spot?
Very small.
Couldn't find a burial spot in this land of Israel that's supposed to be all his. He couldn't find a place to bury his wife until he paid a tremendous amount of money. In today's market, it would be, someone made the calculation of how much the 400 coins that he gave to Ephron, how much today they would be in real value. That was a crazy number. Just to bury his wife. Ve'lo hirher ahar midotecha.
And he didn't get thrown off. Avraham accepted the challenge, signed on it, and said, this must be what I need to go through right now. Ah, Hashem promised me. I thought I'm going to get it. It didn't happen. No. This must be the way. In the Satan's understanding of life, which is pretty deep, he says he looked in the entire world and didn't see a man like this. Now, by the way, this is a man who just came back from the Akedah. But the Satan doesn't say, I saw, wow, Avraham, your servant. He just came back from the Akedah. I don't know. He was ready to kill his son. No mention of the Akedah. What was the greatest thing he saw about Abraham? That he signed on the challenge that he got. Unbelievable. That's why some Rishonim learn this must be their source. Some Rishonim learn it was accepted that the 10th challenge of Abraham, the highest one, was the Akedah. That's the accepted understanding of the 10th and final test, the greatest test.
But some say no, that the greatest test was the burial of Sarai Menu, that the Akedah was only the 9th one. But the 10th one is when he had to deal with Ephron after all that he accomplished and Hashem promised him. Now he had to deal with not finding a burial plot for his wife. That was a greater Nisayon. According to some Rishonim, and seemingly this Gemara seems to support that. That this is what the Satan got most excited about. More than anything else. If he got most excited about it, it must have been the most difficult. And this is the great opportunity that all of us have when we have challenges to accept the reality and accept the road and take it on. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was rebuked for by Hashem Yidbarach when he went to Egypt and he went to Paro hoping to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. And as we know, when he met Paro, Paro not only did not let them out, but also made the work harder, which frustrated the people tremendously. Here they saw a man coming in to help them, and in representing them, instead of helping them, he makes things worse for them. Just imagine the feeling. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells Hashem, Lama hare ota lama ze? Why did you do bad to this nation? He tells Hashem, I don't understand. From the time I came to Paro, you made things worse. The Midrash says, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Haval al de avdin. Haval al de avdin velo mishtakehin. Haval means woe on those who are gone. Woe to the great people. Like Abraham Avinu, I promised him the whole land. And he couldn't find the burial plot. He didn't say a word. He accepted it. And you're already telling me, why did I do bad? This was the rebuke Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu. Haval al de'avdim. Woe on those who are gone. What was special about them? What was unique about them? They accepted the challenges as they came, and they dealt with it, and they worked with it. I once saw that the word haval, if you take the word haval and put the different vowels, different nekudot, you read it hevel. Hevel is a rope. Haval al de avdin. That when we say haval al de avdin, it means hevel, we should hold on to those who are gone. Hold on to them. This is worthy of holding on to. To hold on to this midah. Haval al de avdin was said on this specific characteristic. That when the challenges come in your day, whatever it might be, you sign on it and you accept it and deal with it. On such a person you want to grab onto. On such a person you want to emulate. This is a tremendous accomplishment. Again, he didn't get to finish going through the challenges, but just lo hirher, the fact that you didn't think twice about what's going on and you accepted it. Tremendous, tremendous accomplishment that a person is able to succeed just from that reaction. That's the story of the Penina, the great woman, the great man. The challenges of life is what shapes them. It's what creates the great pictures that came out of the film.
course, it's not easy to adjust. It's not easy to change. You know, there's a midrash, very, very interesting midrash. I can't say I fully understand it, but I understand enough to share it with you. The midrash says that if you look in the Nisyonot of Avraham Avinu, the first one that's mentioned in the Torah is Lech Lecha. When Hashem told him to leave his country, Lech Lecha, go. But also by the final test, if that's the final one, depending how you learn, as we just said, by the Akedah, it also says, Kahna et bincha et yahidecha, Asher ha'afta. Hashem tells him, take your most beloved son, ve'lech lecha, and go for yourself, el eretz ha-moria, to the land of Moria, where today we have the Beit HaMikdash. Says the Midrash, notice, the first Nisayon, lech lecha, the last Nisayon, lech lecha. Says the Midrash, listen to this Midrash. Amar Rabbi Levi, Shete pe'amim ketiv lech lecha. Twice it says these words, go for yourself. Ve'en anu yod'im ezo haviva. And we don't know which test was more precious. Ima shnia, ima rishona. The Midrash says, I look at the Akedah. I look at Lech Lecha to leave his country. And I don't know which one is more precious. I think me and you would have said, I think I know which one is precious. What's the question? Obviously, the Akedah, to kill your son, is much more precious than to move out of your country. Big deal, you moved. But the Midrash says, I don't know. They're both Lech Lecha. And I don't know which one is more difficult. I don't know which one is more precious. The Midrash says, when it says, El Eres HaMoriah, so we see the second one is greater. Okay, whatever the answer is, it's not the point for them. But that means the Midrash actually doesn't know the difference. How could there be even a comparison? And the answer is obviously that it is very difficult for a person to change and to adjust. Yes, we find people that move to different cities and different countries. We do that. But ultimately, Avraham Avinu was successful where he was. He was doing such holy work. Who knows how many businesses he had? Who knows how many friends he had? How many students he had? He was living in a place that was thriving. And he had his fingerprints all over what was going on. To leave such a place of success and to go somewhere else, even though Hashem promised him. The Midrash is telling you, change when you're successful is very hard. When you're not successful to change, also hard. Avraham Avinu had everything. Hashem told him, leave. You gotta go. You gotta adjust. You have to change. You have to start new, fresh. You know, a guy built a company. He built a business. He has thousands of employees. Things are running beautifully. And they make him retire and start again. Start fresh. Other palm, one more time. Avraham Avinu was asked to make a change in his life. And people like me and you don't have the appetite to change. We don't like to change. We resist change. We want to stay the same. It's scary to change. It's very difficult for a person to say, I used to be this,
Now I need to adjust myself to be that. That's the reality. And that's why it's very difficult, lech lecha, to adjust yourself, to be flexible. Things, not just moving your home, but just moving yourself. The flexibility of a person is a tremendous asset to a person. That's why the Gemara says that a person who lives in a city, devish lev behamata. Listen to this Gemara. If you're having a ved mazal in one city, velo azil lemata harita, and he's unwilling to change to go somewhere else, usually you don't have to change your city. But if the situation is such, it doesn't mean only city, it means life situation. Usually life situations, you stick with them and you'll make it work and you'll make it big. But sometimes the writing's on the wall and you need to make a change, whatever it might be. You gotta make a change. If you're unwilling to make a change when the situation requires change, Gemara says, this guy is one of the people that Hashem will never answer him. So Akin, they could scream, they could pray from all their koach, all the energy, they don't get answered. What the guy do? The guy did is that he's unwilling to make the effort himself. Hashem helps those who help themselves. If you see that you need to make an adjustment in your life, whatever it must be. Again, everybody's got their challenges and everyone's got their adjustments. Sometimes they're big, sometimes they're small. But if you're unwilling to make an adjustment, a necessary adjustment in your life, do not ask Hashem for help. So Akim ve'enan ne'ani. So it's not going to help you. Hashem, why don't you cure my problem? What have you done? Have you made a change in your schedule? Have you made a change by moving to a different neighborhood? Have you made a change in the school that you go to? Have you made a change in the lifestyle that you're in? You just ask Hashem to help you with all your issues? Did you make changes? Sometimes just changing a social connection could be a huge change for a person. You're in the wrong group of people. You got to change. You can't be with this group of people. It's not good for you. It could be a change of where you live. It could be a change of your habits. It could be a change of anything. When a person, how many people in the world out there today are suffering because they can't make changes? All kinds, you talk about hundreds of millions of people that are sick, but they can't make a change. They know they have to make a change, but they can't do it. If you're unwilling to make a change, not only is it a tragedy that you don't change, but you lose Hashem's help. You're complaining, why are you doing this to me? Hashem said, what am I doing to you? You're not willing to change. If you have to make a change in your life and you make that change, Hashem is with you. It's not easy to make changes, whatever they might be. Spiritual changes, social changes. Sometimes you have to change your job. Sometimes the place that you work in is such a terrible environment that is hurting you. You got to change. Life brings situations where a person needs to leave his city. Whatever his city means, you got to leave your city. If you don't leave the city when you need to leave the city, you have yourself to blame. Hashem steps out and says, wait, let me see till you make the change. I can't help you until you make the changes. This is the greatness of Lech Lecha. Go! Avraham, make a change. Ah, Hashem promised him good. So of course he's going to go, no. You know how many people know there's good if they change, but they still can't do it? This is one of the great achievements of life. Seeing the need to make a change in life, signing on and accepting a new mission that you weren't necessarily expecting. And from there, you have Siyata Dishmaya, and you'll be able to one day realize how the seed that was buried in the ground became this most beautiful, beautiful, tremendous amount of bushels of wheat. Tremendous trees have grown from that seed that was buried in the ground. That's the process of a person's growth. And that's what a penina is. That's what a pearl is. And that's why the great woman, the Eshet Hayil, and every great person is going to be compared to the value of that pearl.
Baruch Adonai Le'olam, amen ve'amen.